Happy Father's Day, everyone. It's great to see you this morning, and we have the wonderful blessing of having more than just earthly fathers, but we have a heavenly Father as well, and He is amazing. So let's take a moment to pray, and we will dive into our passage this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for all of your blessings. Thank you for the way that you are taking care of us, the way that you are loving us, the way that you are our Father, the way that you care for us more than any earthly father could ever care for us, the way that even when our earthly fathers abandon us, you will not. Lord, we thank you for how amazing you are, how much you love us. And Lord, I pray specifically for the men today that as we learn about Father's Day, that we would not just lift up men willy-nilly, but that instead this would be a message that would call men to be more like you, that would call men to be fathers in your image, and that we would walk away encouraged and closer to you. Heavenly Father, Lord, if we ask that we, those of us who are men, that we would learn to, as that song just said, stand strong. That we would not be weak men, that we would not be overbearing men, but that we would be strong men who stand for what you stand for. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's service is going to look a little bit different than most of my sermons normally do. Normally we go through books of the Bible and we go through so we can understand them in the context that surrounds it. But on a day like Father's Day, especially when God has given me such a heartbeat and such a passion to see young men rise up, to see old men rise up, to see men rise up and lead their families, to see them call their families and bring their families along to follow Jesus together. With that being such a huge heart that I have, I decided that we would look at today at fathers and how fatherhood reflects the image of God. Before we do that, though, we'll go back to that slide we were just on and want to remind you guys, one more, the reason that we exist as a church is to follow Jesus and love people. Say it with me. We exist to follow Jesus and love people. Let's try it again. We exist to love or follow Jesus and love people. I got them backwards, so let's try it one more time where I don't screw it up. All right, we exist to follow Jesus and love people. All right, and now we're going to look at our goals on how what God is giving us a vision to do. Over this next year, our goal is to baptize double digits. Today, we are doing number 5. Also, our passion is definitely for all of North Hammond, all of Hammond, all of Northwest Indiana, but the specific area that God is really calling us to focus on, really calling us to start by getting to know that area, is from Columbia to Calumet, from Chicago to 150th Street. And we are doing that by weekly going out. We're starting on Hickory Street and we are getting to know people. Over this last week, we went out and 3 different people who do not go to our church, I don't believe they go to church, agreed to do a 5-day Bible challenge where each day they would spend some time praying and reading scripture and getting to know that better. So that's something that we can be encouraged about, is that God God is working, God is developing relationships, and we're encouraging people to get to know God better through the Holy Scriptures. Also, another one of our goals is to start a new church in 5 years. So sometime in 2018, to be starting a new church, to be growing to where we are sending people to go and minister to people in another area. I realize that for some of you, I may not have been clear enough on this. This is not restarting our own. This is not that at all, because I know that there was a question about that, and I want you guys to know that this is, we are wanting to grow to the point where we are sending people out. So we start in the Great Commission says in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so our Jerusalem, our closest area, is these 21 blocks that I've told you what the perimeter is. And beyond that is Judea, Samaria, and ends of the earth. And so we want to be sending people out. One of our sister churches right now is actually helping plant or reinvigorate four different churches right now. And he is sending out to each of those four churches two different men who are called to preach, and he is sending out half of his deacon board. That is going out in faith, and that is an example that we can follow, and it's an example of what God is doing in us. That being said, let's actually go to our Father's Day message. Psalm 68, verse 5 describes God as Father of the fatherless and protectors of widows. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. One of the things that we often don't think about as we think about men, we have a tendency to follow to these two extremes. We either have a tendency to look as men as such macho and abusive, chauvinistic pigs that they rule by domination and they force hands in everything. And the other is the side that our feminist Christianity has brought about that is weak and passive men. And I want you to see that God does not want you to be either of those. God has called you men to lead. He has called you to lead your families and to lead them well, to lead them towards him, to lead by following Jesus. And to say, we as a family will Jesus. To say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so as we look at this, as we think about what God is calling us to do, I want you to not think, as you've seen so many Christian men be, is weak. And the words that are coming to my mind could probably get me fired, so I'm not going to say some of those. But weak men, pushovers, wusses. And that's what we've seen in the church. We've seen men who come and we've seen men who are dragged by their wives to church, men who are not leading their families, men who go and work and do nothing, leave their families to the side and just barely get by what's doing or what they do. Is they put on a good show. And they never get into an argument because good Christian men are always nice. If we are going to, as we say that we exist to follow Jesus and love people, I want to tell you two things, two characteristics of men that we must follow of Jesus and God the Father. One is that we are strong. We often hear Jesus's Beatitudes and where he says, blessed are the meek. What clicks in our head is blessed are the weak. And that's not the way it is. That's not what God is calling us to. Men, you are not being called by God to be weak like you have seen so many before you. You are called to be meek. Now let's look and let's think about what is meekness. Meekness is being strong and choosing to be gentle with those that you could crush. Meekness is not always being nice. Meekness is putting a finger in a brother's chest and saying, you need to behave more like Jesus. When you could whoop them and put them in the hospital. Meekness is bringing your children aside and giving them a swat rather than a whooping. I'm not saying spanking is bad. I'm not saying that spanking always works. Logic generally worked better for me as a child. If you told me why, I understood it better. Occasionally, though, I did need my rear end smacked. And so what I want you to think about, what I want you to see, is that when you discipline your children, when you are the father to the fatherless, when you are the help to the widow, that it is in your strength rising up and caring for people. It is in your strength when your children disobey, saying, all right, you need to understand that there is punishment and that there, not punishment, that there is discipline for behavior that is not honoring to God. Yet at the same time, showing love. So if we look at the characteristic of God the Father, Psalm says that he is the father of the fatherless. We live in a society where the first time in our nation's history, more than 50% of children are born without their parents being married. And what I am calling you men to, what I am calling you to be and to do, is to be the father to the fatherless. Over 50% of the kids in our neighborhood go to bed at night without a father in the home. Walk alongside these young men. Care for these young girls. Love them in a way that is honoring and honoring to them and honoring to God. Be the father to the fatherless like our Father, our Heavenly Father, is a father to us, whether we have an earthly father who's there or not. If you would turn with me to James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. How many of you growing up, whether it was your biological father, a stepfather, or a grandfather, or whatever, always had wisdom to give to you, whether you wanted it or not? Our Heavenly Father has much better wisdom than our earthly fathers have. much better. And one of the things, though, that we find about our Heavenly Father is our Heavenly Father doesn't cram it down our throats the way many of our earthly fathers have. He has it. He wants to give it to you. He's begging to give it to you. But he has wisdom and he loves us in such a way that he gives it to us when we ask. This is a promise that over the last couple of years has been huge to me. It has been a huge help in my spiritual walk. Understanding that God is a Father who loves us and wants to give us wisdom. And not only wants to give us wisdom, promises to give us wisdom. He says that if we ask, he will give it to us. There have been so many times over the last couple of years where I'm like, Father, I don't know what you want me to do. But you promise in James that if I ask, you will give it to me. So I'm claiming that promise and I'm thanking you, God, in advance that you have promised this to me. Claim those promises because God is the kind of Father that not only does he have wisdom, but he keeps his promises. How many times have our earthly fathers promised us something and failed? How many times have our earthly fathers come short? Our God does not. He is a man who keeps his promises. Our God is amazing, and we can get wisdom because he promises it to us. What a wonderful Father that we have. What a wonderful way that he cares for us. 1 Peter 1:17 says, and if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. One of the things that I want you to see as you look at this, as you hear what's going on, as you hear the words of Peter that God has spoken through him, is that God is a Father who judges impartially. How many of you have seen fathers play favorites? It comes really easy. You click a little bit more with one and you play favorites. And what we see is our God may, some of us have less things that we have left as walls between us and him. We all have tons of walls, so many bars our communication with our Heavenly Father. But what I want you to see is that through Jesus on the cross, those walls are taken away. Even so, sometimes we let them remain a wall. We say, you know what, I've been too bad. Man, God can forgive a lot of things, but he can't forgive that. God can't heal me from this. I'm too broken. I was hurt too bad. And what we see is our God is a Father who loves to wipe those walls away, and he judges us impartially. He does not play favorites. He says we all deserve hell because we have all rebelled against him. But Jesus never sinned. And he paid the ultimate sacrifice. And he gives what Martin Luther, one of my heroes of the faith, calls the great exchange. He exchanges all his goodness for our badness. He took on our badness and handed us his goodness. So when God the Father sees us, if we have a relationship with him through Jesus, when God the Father sees us, he sees the holiness of Jesus, not how jacked up and messed up we are. I know that I am no better than anyone in this room, and I'm probably quite a bit worse than a lot of you. What I do know is that when God sees me, he doesn't see me, he sees Jesus. And he sees Jesus on the cross dying for my sins. That's the only difference. Religion and being a good moral person cannot get us squat. Jesus is the only one who can bring us to the point where God sees goodness in us. It's not what I've done, it's what he's done for me. One of the things, as there's a command here to conduct yourself with fear throughout your time of exile, as you're going through tough times, as things are coming down on you, one of the things that I want you to do and that I'm encouraging you to do is conduct yourself in fear. Now, fear has different meanings. Fear can be, oh no, I'm afraid. Fear can be a sense of awe and reverence. And one of the things that I want you to see is that, yes, this is awe and reverence, looking at God and saying, wow, I'm so amazed at how awesome you are. And part of it is also looking at God and saying, God, I do not want to disappoint you. My grandpa several times has told me the story of two different men. One was his father and one was an uncle. His father, he was afraid of. His uncle, he was afraid of disappointing. And there is a huge difference between the two. When you're afraid of disappointing, when you don't to disappoint, when you're just like, no, I can't do that because I don't want to let them down, then it creates a desire to do the right thing, not just a desire not to get caught. And there's this huge difference. And God wants us to have such a close relationship with him where when we experience failure, we are sad not because we're going to get punished, because that punishment fell on Jesus, but instead where we are distraught, where we are sad over the fact that we have disappointed and failed our loving, perfect God. Our God is so amazing. The next thing I want you to think about is the story of the prodigal son. If we look at that as we think about the story of the prodigal son, there are two sons. One goes off and does all sorts of bad things, but has a repentant heart, and the father welcomes him back, even giving his own honor away. He runs. Men, patriarchs in that day never ran, but he goes out and runs to his son. The other son is a man who has done everything right his entire life, but he didn't care for the father. He cared for the father's things. He cared for his own name. He cared for his own glory. And our God the Father does not want perfect people. He wants people who love him and want him. Those are the people that he accepts. When we realize that we are as jacked up as everybody else. Our next passage is 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. As we look at this, as we think about this passage, what we realize is because God is a God of comfort. How many of you have ever fallen off your bike or had a rough day or had that first person break your heart? And what did your father do? For many of you, he came around and he put his arm around you and said, I love you. You'll be okay. It'll heal up. Get back on that bike. Daughters, your father said, I knew that boy didn't deserve you. He's just lucky I didn't pull my gun out. Do you want me to pull my gun out? And because our God is a God who gives us comfort, he equips us to give others comfort as well. He equips us through his comfort that he has given us to walk alongside and comfort others. Galatians 4 through 7, I'm sorry. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. I want you to know that through our sin, we forfeited. We said, God, we don't want our inheritance, or we want to make our own inheritance. And through the sacrifice of Jesus who died on the cross for our sins, God is giving us our inheritance back. He is saying, even though you rejected me as a father, I am adopting you again and bringing you back as my children. As we look at this passage, as we look at the love of God, as we looked at the parable of the prodigal son, we see that God is a father whose love keeps on coming. It is unconditional. No matter what we do, he will keep loving us. He will keep caring for us. He will keep calling us towards himself. First Corinthians 11:7. And this is a passage that, ladies, listen in, but I am gearing this primarily to the men. For a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. what I want you to see from this. Now, there's a lot more about this, and it's talking specifically about the context of prayer. And in that time, if you wore a head covering, what you were saying is, I am under the submission and leadership of someone else. And so what he is saying is, men, you are called to be more. You are called to lead your families. You are called to lead your families well. And I know that as you're hearing all of this, you're saying, well, pastor's saying I've got to do this, and pastor's saying I've got to do that. I'm saying you get to do something that God has called you to that is worth far more than anything you have been living your life for. And God has named you His image and glory. What I'm telling you today, men, is I want to see God in you. I want to see God's glory shining forth in you, because you are His image. You are His glory. You men, I'm calling you to rise up now, because God has so much more for you planned than what you are accepting. He wants Him to shine out through you. He wants people to see Him when they see you, men. He wants you not to be some dictator in your family, that just forces and pushes His own way. He also does not want you to be some limp-wristed wuss that lets people walk all over you. He wants you to be a man that stands up like Jesus stood up, who stood up for those who were in need, who with the religious people got in their face, put His finger in their chest, sometimes a whip in their chest, and said, you need to be better. God is calling you to be better. But lovingly walking on along with your family, helping them to bloom, helping your wives to bloom like a beautiful flower. If your wife is not growing, if your children are not growing, the fault does not lie with the school systems. The fault does not lie with your wife. The fault does not lie with your children. The fault lies with us men. Because God has called us not only to lead, but to be responsible. That means that when there is fault with those that God has called us to lead, we don't say, that's not my problem, that's my wife's issue. We say, that is my issue, because God has called me to lead my family well. And I want you to see that you men are the image and glory of God. And the most perfect image that we have of Jesus, of God, is Jesus. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the way that we see Jesus as we look through the scripture is a man who loved people, loved to party, got really angry with religious people, and had self-control. That is who God is calling us to be like. Men, rise up and follow Jesus. And in doing so, love people, starting with your wife and your children. and then growing out to being the father to the fatherless and to being the help to widows in their distress and caring for all those in need, calling people to repentance and getting in the face of religious people who find their culture more important than the scriptures. That's what God is calling us to. And he's equipped us to do this by allowing his son to die on the cross for us in our place and rising again so that we can have hope for eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for all who are in this room that you would show yourself as their Heavenly Father. If there have been fathers that have abandoned, beaten, abused, mistreated, Lord, I pray that you would show yourself as the amazing Father who was nothing like that man. And Lord, I pray specifically for the men and the boys in this room that you would raise them up to be men of God, that you would raise them up to be your image and your glory, that when their wives and their children and the world see them, that they would see you. Lord, kick us in the butt because we know we need it. Draw us closer to yourself. And Lord, I pray that we would worship you on this Father's Day. And that we would strive to be better men, to be better fathers who point to you, our wonderful Heavenly Father, and point to Jesus, the best man who ever lived. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.